Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome in. Come on in. Well, if you're only going to win one, win the finale. Royals get it done today. Still haven't been swept this season. They pull one out in the end, 3-2, the final score. We now can just enjoy our Thursday night, right, Kansas City? Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. You can take this show wherever you want it to go. Plenty to discuss. Freddie Fermin, Bobby Witt Jr., again, 913-586-7610, but as I have most post-game shows, we're going to start this thing off talking about the pitching. Seth Lugo with another quality start, and it got me thinking. Really, the past two games have me interested in your opinion. Who is the ace on this team? Now, Now, Cole Ragans was my thought coming into yesterday's game. Cole Ragans is the guy that I look at times and say, bro, we need you to put everything on your back. And if that other starting pitcher throws a one-hitter, I need you to throw a no-hitter. I have, at times, unreasonable expectations for Cole Ragans. But I also have the same unreasonable expectations for Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, because those three, to me, are a cut above. Cole Ragans has the ability, in my opinion, to be an ace in the truest sense, like one of the five best pitchers on the planet. Do I need to reconsider? Is Cole Ragans the guy that you're giving the ball to in game one, or is it Seth Lugo? Again, it's a terrific issue to have. It's amazing to be sitting here 76 games into the season and we're debating about game one of a postseason series. And it's not wishing and talking about 2 years from now. No, it's talking about 4 months from now. Is Seth Lugo the ace of this staff? Or do you view them as equals? Now, whatever Cole Ragans is able to do, you believe Seth Lugo is just as good. I'm curious where you stand on this. 913-586-7610. They're both 16 starts into the season. Now, Cole Ragans is striking out the world. Only Zach Greinke has more punch-outs through 16 starts in a season. Only Zach Greinke has more punch-outs than Cole Ragans. And yes, it was that Cy Young Award season of 2009. So Ragans is red hot. Seth Lugo, an ERA of 2.42, seventh best in franchise history through 16 starts. So honestly, at the same time, two of the great starting pitchers, through the first 70-some-odd games, we're seeing two of the best starts in franchise history right before our eyes. Cole Ragans and Seth Lugo. Lugo was outstanding today, efficient as all get out, getting a double play in the first, once again in the third, getting another to finish off the fourth. When game one of the ALDS or CS or World Series rolls around, who do you want Matt Quatrero giving that ball to? 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's head out to Oakland and talk with Jennifer. Jennifer, were you in the building as the Royals say goodbye to the Coliseum?
We were.
Well, what stood out to you? What caught your eye about the stadium and about the game today as the Royals win 3-2?
You know, the stadium wasn't near as bad as we expected. We'd heard so many things about how terrible it is, and it didn't live up to the expectations that we had set. It wasn't all that bad. The field itself is beautiful. The fans sitting around us were polite and nice. They were all very impressed with Seth Lugo and the three double plays that we turned. Freddie Fermin was on fire today. And MJ, you know, people like to hate, but he got on base three times today. It was a fun game. We had a really great day.
Well, that's great to hear. Jennifer, I greatly appreciate you calling in.
Thanks for having me, Vern.
Yeah, don't forget, you can listen to the post-game show and 610 Sports Radio Coast to Coast on the Odyssey app. And if you ever miss the post-game show, you can subscribe and download the All Things Vern podcast. Yeah, Freddie Fermin. Again, to me, Freddie Fermin passed the evaluation season of 2023. I've been all in on Freddie, and I think most of us have been all in on Freddie. He's right there last season with Bobby and Salvi and Michael and Vinny. Is one of the guys that you left that miserable 106 loss season. Freddie was one of the guys that you came away saying, hey, you know what? I think there's something there. Yeah, he's going to be a part of the next winner here in Kansas City. Freddie today, 3-for-4 with the two home runs to put the Royals out in front 2-0. And now, in his last 2 months of baseball, Freddie Fermin's hitting .343 with an OPS north of .920. Let's go back to the phone calls and Cam in Prairie Village. Cam, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Okay, so I really think that we should probably just stick with Cole Reagan as the number one. Although, okay, you know, Seth Lugan is performing like really well, but you just got to stick with your guys, you know, give them the confidence to keep going. And you can always change that later, but.
No, I got you down, Cam. I appreciate it. That's what I'm looking for. Game one of the DSCS rolls around. Who are you turning to? And you're going with Cole Reagans. I like it. I appreciate the phone call, Cam.
Cole Reagans, you know, if I want my number one. The numbers don't tell me that, but he's been really solid through the season, so.
Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Seth Lugo might have the lower ERA, but you can dive into the metrics or the analytics, and they're very fond of Cole Reagans. You look at fielding, independent pitching. Cole Reagans is clearly having the best season on this Royals pitching staff. It's a great debate. It's a nice debate to have. It's something that I don't think we've had here since, well, I guess 2015, right? You could make a case between Cueto and Volquez and Ventura. There was no clear number one other than the fact that you parted with those prospects to acquire Johnny Cueto. But on that championship team, I guess there wasn't a clear number one. Lugo, by the way, I mentioned that ERA, that 2.42 ERA, good for sixth best in Major League Baseball in 2024. Now, another layer to this question of who is the ace is, are they an ace in the truest sense? Meaning, you know, many of you called my diagnosis of Cole Reagan's outing last night. You said it was unfair because I was disappointed in him. Because, again, I view him as a true ace where, you know, in a game like that, when the team wasn't giving you much offensively, when you're taking on a lesser than opponent, I have those unfair, unrealistic expectations, demands of Cole Reagans. You know, are you viewing Reagans like that? Are you viewing Seth Lugo like that today? Because the dude was certainly in control throughout. A 12-pitch first inning, needing just 13 in the second, 13 in the third. He needed only 7 pitches to get through the middle of the lineup in the fourth. A 12-pitch fifth inning, and you know, it was easy work for Seth Lugo. It got a little bumpy there in the sixth and the seventh as he gives up the lead. A 2-run home run to Zach Geloff ties things up in the seventh inning, but the Royals' bullpen somehow holds that Oakland offense at bay, allowing Bobby Witt Jr. to win it with a leadoff home run in the eighth inning, giving Kansas City a 3-2 win, salvaging one in this three-game set in Oakland. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. With this win, the Royals are now on pace for 89 victories this season to finish 2024 with 89 in the win column. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's South Lanteau. Be in the know and call Jay's South Lanteau. We'll get back to your phone calls right after this. The call as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. 3-2 after that Bobby Big Fly. 3-2 would be your final score. Bobby's 12th of the season turns out to be the game winner. Eighth pitch of the at-bat, a slider that just spun in the middle. He belts it, as you heard, 422 feet, 108 miles per hour off the bat. Bobby has now hit safely in 28 of his last 31 games. His batting average falls today to .322, second best in baseball. That home run was his 99th hit of the season. That's second most in baseball. The run he scores was his 60th. That's the third most in baseball. He's fourth in extra base hits, eighth in RBI. Royals win the game and improve their record to 42-34. They're six games back of Cleveland in the division. A game and a half secures their playoff spot right now. A game and a half up on the Boston Red Sox. Let's go to Noah in Osage City. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Noah, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Vern. I've been wanting to call in for a while. I haven't missed a game since Game 9 this year. And
nice.
Even though we've had a rough patch here, I have just been so thrilled to be able to get excited about the Royals again. And this game, two things that really stood out to me. You asked who the guy was. And I've been thinking Seth Lugo for a long time. I think he's just amazing. I love watching him pitch and listening to it on the radio as well. But also, Freddie Fermin, man, I mean, I just love having a guy like that we can be ready to look to whenever Salvi's done. And I love Salvi, obviously. I've been following him forever. But it's just amazing to know that we have another great catcher kind of coming up behind him, who can also hit the ball and just play some good ball. So that's been real encouraging for me.
Oh, that's great to hear. Noah, appreciate the phone call. Way to stay dialed into the boys, and I appreciate you listening. I hope we get to hear from you more often. If you're watching that much Royals, man, I need that insight. I need your perspective. Appreciate it. 913-586-7610. Listen, Freddie Fermin hitting .306 this season when his name's in the starting lineup. I've been a Freddie Fermin fan since the pandemic, since I really had a chance to watch him in spring training. So seeing him thrive like this certainly warms the heart. But even he would say this, let's acknowledge the greatness of Salvador Perez. You know, Freddie's a terrific big leaguer, but he's not Salvador Perez. You don't have another Salvi. You have a solid catcher. No doubt about it, though. I'm with you. Have some nice catching prospects as well in the system, from Carter Jensen to Blake Mitchell. Seems like a strong spot right now in the organization, which is great. You can never have enough catchers. You can never have enough pitchers. And you went with Seth Lugo, who today broke a tie with Cole Reagans. They both had 11 quality starts this season. Seth Lugo picks up his 12th. 12 quality starts. I mean, nobody else in baseball has more than that. So I understand those of you that are siding with Seth Lugo saying he's the ace of this team. And now this is what I was looking for. Look, I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong. I'm just telling you, I believe it's Cole Reagans. But again, maybe that's maybe that goes back to what we saw in the second half of last season and the doubts that many have had about Seth Lugo for years. Maybe I'm just the latest bozo that's not given Seth Lugo what he deserves, and that is credit for being one of the best pitchers right now in Major League Baseball. I mean, he's completed six innings in 14 of his 16 starts. Nobody else in baseball has done that. He leads the sport with 104 innings pitched this season. I mean, he's given you almost 6 2/3 every time he takes the ball. Let's go to Peter in Kansas City. Peter, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh, big fan. A lot more fun to call in after a win than the losing streak we've had of late.
For sure.
You know, first, I got to go Lugo. I mean, Reagan's in a couple of years will be the guy, but in terms of stability, Lugo clearly has that versus Reagan. So when the playoffs come, you need stability. You know, I was trying to look some numbers up to quantify this, but I couldn't do this. But it feels like the last several years, despite how bad the Royals have been, they've caught fire after the All-Star break. And we've always been a slow starting team for the last since 2015. This year has been the opposite. What are the odds we can really kind of pick up the pace with a young roster and you know, really outplay ourselves in the second half of the season versus the first half of the season?
Yeah, that's certainly going to be tough. Right, when you put together a 17-win April and then you follow it up with a 17-win May, to duplicate that in August and September is going to be tough. I'm certainly not going to predict that because every game from here on out for Bobby, for Lofton, for Vinny, for MJ, for Fermin, for Michael, for Reagans, for Singer, it's the biggest game they've ever played in. Now, I believe in this team. I think they'll be there in the end, but do I think that they can duplicate those first 2 months in the last 2 months? They're certainly capable of it, but I'm not going to say expect it. You know, when you started, I was nodding along. It's certainly possible because, especially when you factor in, you know, Michael Wacha's hopefully going to return on Saturday and restore that stability that this rotation gave this team in those first 2 months. Right, the reason why you had back-to-back 17-win months was because the pitching was... You know,
when the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Of the five best in the sport. Not still good. You're still top 10. You're not top five. You were top five when Wacha was in there, when you were getting basically five, six innings of two-run baseball or better just about every night. Now, Chris Bubich is going to bring some big-time swing-and-miss stuff to this bullpen, I think, really soon. He had 17 swings and misses last night in Omaha in 4 1/3 innings. Bubich, now 26, had 8 strikeouts in 4 1/3 last night. So I think the bullpen's going to get better. I think the rotation's going to get better, and it's all internally. Defensively, you're going to get better as hopefully Hunter Renfroe returns this weekend. Hopefully Michael Massey comes back on this upcoming homestand. So the rotation, the bullpen, the defense, the offense should all improve without even making a move. So it's certainly possible that they get red hot in the second half of the season. Now, I think a lot of the reason why we've seen this organization get nice in the second half is because often the pressure's off. No one cares. No one's really in the building. Sure, it's still a big league game and you're fighting for your life out there and your job. But that other dugout is looking past you. It's still the big leagues. I'm not trying to completely diminish it. But this second half and the type of pressure that these guys are going to feel is something that hasn't been present at Kauffman Stadium in 7 seasons. Thanks for listening, Peter. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Terry in Lee Summit. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Vern. I'm just going to say that if I were Q and the playoffs started next week, I would go with Seth Lugo as my starter for game one. Okay. He has been rock solid this whole season, and I think that every time he gets on the mound and the Royals play, he's big for the moment every time. There's a calmness when he's out there, a confidence that he's going to get the job done. He's made pitches. Huge pitches in big moments this whole first half of the season. And I think that when the team knows he's out there, I just feel like there's just this confidence in them as well. Like, hey, we're going to go win this today because Seth is on the mound. Cole's been really good. And like you said, he's leading the team in strikeouts, but there's been some inconsistency. And if I want game one in my pocket, I'm going with Seth Lugo.
That's very well said, Terry. I appreciate the phone call. And the way that you described what Seth Lugo, we believe, or what you believe, does to the rest of his team, that's exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about an ace. A guy that, James Shields was the last one I really remember here where I'm stepping on that gas pedal a little bit harder because I'm excited to get to the ballpark. I'm turning the music up a little bit more because he's going to, darn near win the game for us. It does put you at ease. Okay, so I'm seeing a lot of Seth Lugo even here on the text line. From the 6-2-0, I'm excited to watch when Cole Reagans pitches, but I expect nothing but a win when Seth Lugo's on the hill. From the 816, Vern, smaller scale, but it's like Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. The ace and the stuff goes to Reagans, but who I want on the mound is the crafty 93-mile-per-hour number two. Yeah, listen, I mean, it's wild that you just compared two starters in the Royals rotation to Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. And I didn't even flinch. Now, those guys have gotten it done in October, right? They've led a team to the World Series, so I have the proper amount of respect for the both of them. But I'll go toe-to-toe with them. With Reagans and Lugo, I'll go toe-to-toe with those two pitchers. Now, the lineup, looking at the rest of that Philadelphia ball club, okay, yeah, that might be a difficult task right now for the boys in blue, but fortunately, the Phillies aren't on the schedule just yet. No, the Texas Rangers are due up next. They'll open up a three-game series in Arlington tomorrow night. Brady Singer squaring off with Nate Eovaldi. It's a 7:05 first pitch, and I'm on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. Royals win 3-2. They're now 34-4 when they hold the opponent to three runs or less. 34-4. The fact that they've held the opponent to three runs or less 38 times is impressive enough. I mean, that is half the games this season, right? Yeah, 76 games. In half the games you've held the opposition to three runs or less, yeah, you better have a winning record. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. Yeah, I mean, Freddie, for me, look, he's on fire right now, and Bobby Witt doing his thing. But I think that if we score first, we have a better chance at winning because when we score late in the games, we only score like in the eighth or ninth inning because like most of the games I've watched them, we were down. We always score in the ninth inning, and I know that one comeback against I forgot what team it was, but I think we got to score early and often, and in the postseason, okay. You have to score early in order to win ball games. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Okay, there you go. There's Garrett in Olathe letting you know you need to score runs in order to win. Royals this season, to go along with what you're saying, Garrett, when the Royals score first, they are now 30-13. How about it? Let's go to Dave in Parkville. Dave, you're on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Big fan. Been listening to you for a while. Just lead off on the first question. I would say Reagans would get the start just because it seems like he has that edge to him. He kind of has that dog in him where whenever he comes out there, I'm like, he's going to strike this dude out. Nothing wrong with Lugo, but I think Reagans kind of has that killer mentality, that blood in the water a little bit.
And I certainly see it. He wants to be the best, I can tell you that. Go ahead.
My second point, and this is kind of a little bit off because I'm responding to a last caller, but they were saying how they were excited about Fermin once Salvi left. But isn't Fermin kind of playing himself as a great trade chip right now? He's balling out. Teams need catchers. Just seems like maybe that's kind of what's going to happen. I obviously am not an expert like you, but seems like we could use that skill and maybe get a reliever.
Listen, I understand where that comes from. Yeah, listen, with the way that Freddie's performing, and you're 100% right, there are not many good catchers in Major League Baseball, certainly not 30 of them. But what happens the next time Salvi gets banged up? I know that might sound Chicken Little of me, but if you've been watching, and I know you have, you've seen it, 2-3 times a year, Salvi's going to need a few days off. You trade away Freddie Fermin, and when he needs those days off in August and September, we're going with Austin Nola. What if it's something, you know, that lasts a few weeks? What if that weird thing with his eye where he can't see out of one eye, what if that returns? Now listen, I'm not saying you can't part with anybody, and it's all about 2024. No, it's a fair point. If you can get something that can help you in 2025 and beyond, and you can flip Freddie for me, and I understand it's certainly worth the conversation, but for a reliever, you know, right now, he's too productive and too key to this offense, especially without Hunter Renfro, without Michael Massey. I mean, you saw it. The guy's your designated hitter today. Now, we talk, you know, you look at AAA. Is there anybody there that could fill in? I don't think so. I mean, honestly, I think you're next. The real replacements for Salvi are down in A-ball and Carter Jensen and Blake Mitchell, and those guys are still 2-3 seasons away. And Salvi under contract next year and then a team option after that. So 2-3 years away from having to make that decision with Salvi. For the time being, you in my opinion, you ride this Freddie Fermin train as long as it'll last. He's very key. Not just offensively and the numbers that are obvious to you, but you know the way that he works with this pitching staff. And if you listen to the post-game show, you've heard Seth Lugo or Alec Marsh or Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, they've called in before talking about the impact of Freddie Fermin and just how great he is as the other half of that battery. I don't know if you want to screw up the mojo of that clubhouse by taking out one of the real winners. You know, a guy that is done so much in a year and a half that he's earned the respect of Salvador Perez to the point where Salvi even says, hey man, get him in the lineup. If that means I'm the DH, if I'm the first baseman, so be it. We're a better team with Freddie in the lineup. I don't think it would be a wise move, even for 2025, to part with a guy like Freddie Fermin. Appreciate you listening, Dave. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We'll take our final quick timeout and get back to your thoughts after this. A 2-0 lead would last, Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. It would last until the seventh inning. Seth Lugo strikes out the first two batters that he faces in that seventh, but then a rocket double to right field from Lawrence Butler is followed by a two-run blast to dead center off of the bat of Zach Geloff. 2-2 after seven, but Bobby goes deep in the eighth, and the Royals win this game 3-2. They're 8 games above 500 on the season, and they now have a record in one-run games, a record of 12-11. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Double J, who's next up on the postgame show. Double J, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Vern, how's it going? Hey, thanks for taking the call. A good one today. How about Freddie Fermin? How about Seth Lugo? To answer your question, I go with probably Lugo or Walker for like a
Walker. NLC, okay.
Championships or division series.
Okay.
Walker's been there before, so in Lugo, he's been great. It'd be a coin flip. And one more question for you, and I'll listen off air. With like the attendance that Oakland has, do you consider that to be like a factor why we struggled the first two games? And I'll listen off air. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I understand where that comes from, Double J. The A's had fewer than 9,000 people in the building today. Didn't even have 5,000 at the game yesterday. Did that affect the Royals? I'm sure it has some, unquantifiable effect. But a lot of these guys played in 2020. Not most of them, but a lot of them. Right? Maybe not. Salvi? Maybe not. No, that's wrong. Adam Frazier, Salvador Perez, Kyle Isbell. I don't even think Isbell was out there in 2020. He was there early 2021, so I guess he saw those smaller crowds. And I've heard that said about Tampa before, Double J, that the dome, and there's nobody there, and there's no real life around the ballpark. Yeah, I've heard that lulls you to sleep. And that's why the Rays are able to, pounce early on in games. It's not a wild idea or a wild theory. I'm sure it had something to do with it. Certainly not an excuse, right? If we're going to view this as a playoff team, you don't give them a pass like that. I mean, I was looking at it earlier today. Is there anything similar to being swept in Oakland? Did the Royals do that in 13, 14, 15? And no, not really. Now, not a team 20 games below 500 like this one. And thankfully, because of Freddie Fermin and Bobby Witt Jr. and the aforementioned Seth Lugo, the Royals are not swept by a team this bad, this brutal Oakland A's ball club, which actually, pitching-wise, was pretty impressive over these three games. Very impressive, as a matter of fact. Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. Who do you give the ball to in game one of the ALCS? I thought it was clearly Cole Reagans, and I got crushed last night for being disappointed in Cole Reagans. You guys have told me basically in the last 48 hours, don't view Cole Reagans as an ace. Don't treat him as an ace. And now it sounds like that should be how I view Seth Lugo. Moving forward, Lugo's the win day guy. Lugo's the one that inspires his teammates, puts them at ease driving to the ballpark. Lugo's the one that I can look at and say, whatever that dude does on the other side, I need you to match him, if not one-up him. Royals are 11-5 this season in games started by Seth Lugo, 7-9 in games with Cole Reagans on the hill. 913-586-7610. We go to the text line. Scott in Phoenix writes in, Vern, I believe Cole Reagans has the best stuff for an ace, but in performance, I'll probably give the slight edge to Seth Lugo. And if the current trend continues, Lugo gets game one, Cole Reagans goes in game two. Scott also concerned about the errors, as you should be. Yeah, Bobby was almost the GOAT in this game, and not the good kind of new GOAT, the old kind of Billy GOAT. A leadoff error in the ninth inning almost comes back and bites the boys in blue. Their 17th error in the last 23 games. Now, I'm with you. The rotation and the defense, if those things remain elite, this team's going to remain in the thick of things. Raj in the Ozarks says he'll go with Seth Lugo on the road, Cole Reagans at home. Because Cole Reagans beat Tarek Skubal straight up at the K. That makes sense. From the 816, someone pointing out that once Cody and Gold started MacArthur's ninth infantry, MacArthur's been subpar. Hey, he picked up the win. Yeah, James MacArthur picked up the win today. He faced five batters, gave up two walks, two hits. Not a real memorable day for James MacArthur, but he does pick up the win. Good for him. And from the 913, Vern, I saw an opinion today that the Royals should not be buyers at the deadline because our farm system's weak and we may not be contenders. Do you have thoughts or feelings on that? If this continues, right, if they continue to play this style of baseball that we've seen over the first 76 games, right, if this continues for three more weeks, which, barring some rash of catastrophic injuries, it will continue, they will be buyers. Now, it's not going to be big game hunting. No, it's going to be, hey, they brought in a John Schreiber. They brought in James MacArthur. Like, do you remember this offseason when they traded for John Schreiber? Do you remember last year when they acquired James MacArthur? No. No, maybe Cody and Gold mentioned it in passing. Maybe Rob mentioned it during the hits on the drive, but it's, you know, it was nothing that CDOT or Fesco's diving into in depth. That's the type of move I see this team making at the deadline. Bringing in a reliever that you say, oh, yeah, he's got this. He can do that. Well, sure, there's upside there, but it's a reliever. You know, even if you brought Scott Barlow back, let's just pretend. I know he's with Cleveland. But if you heard the Royals are bringing back Scott Barlow or even Aroldis Chapman, you'd be like, hey, yeah, all right, I remember those guys. They were good. But if they come here and stink, you're not going to go, well, JJ's, yeah, his heart was in the right place. He tried. No, man, this is a bottom-line business. That reliever that they acquire at the deadline is going to be held to a very high standard, whether he warrants it or not. But more than likely, the big additions are Waka, Bubich, Renfro, Massey. And you can supplement the bench or the bullpen. You could bring in a few under-the-radar arms or bats, but I don't think it's going to be anything that's headline news on MLB.com. All right, Royals win 3-2, the final score, as they're now 22-8 this season when taking on teams below 500. 22-8. Well, tomorrow when they open up this series against the Texas Rangers, the defending World Series champions, well, it's going to be another team below 500. Yeah, believe it or not, Bruce Bochy's boys are six games below 500. But they throw a guy that the last time I saw him, I swear he was pitching his tail off in the World Series. Brady Singer squares off with Nate Eovaldi tomorrow at 7:05. So just like we learned in this Oakland series, you can look down your nose at anyone, but they're still professionals, right? They still drive Corvettes in that dugout as well. So Brady Singer, Nate Eovaldi coming your way tomorrow at 7:05 with the
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.